Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Darcy Ogundaga, and I don't know about you, but I'm tired of coming on social media. Unfortunately, that's part of my business. So before I post, or even I want to check what my team post earlier in different time zone, and just flooded with negative things, even if my search history is not based on negative things. Same thing when I watch news, negative. And I did some research and I realized like 90%, unfortunately, of content was produced every 24 hours is negative. And according to the stats, when there's a negative title or headline, there's about 3% more chance for somebody to click on it, but if the stuff was positive. So what I want to do with my new podcast, I call, you know, Positive Vibe Podcast, is when I report what's going on, what I've seen online was positive. Great podcast, great conversation. Whereas, you know, enhance the way we think, better solution in business and our faith. And so that's why we, you know, start producing with my AR agent to go all around the internet, scan and summarize good news. So let's listen this week about Market Mondays. I really love what EYL is doing, especially when they interview John Hope Bryant. It was brilliant what he was talking about AI investments, not only for our community, but for the world. It's so important. And then one of my episodes when I talk about the importance of owning your own platform. A lot of people are on social media happy just to post, but there's no destination. So they want to grow a following without a digital headquarters where they can own the data. If you don't own the data, everything that you post on social media will not be that powerful. So I really want you to think about that. And let's listening to that podcast summary episode. It will bless you so much. And I'll talk to you at the end. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're here to cut through all the noise and get right to the core of what you need to know, and fast.
That's right.
Today, we're navigating, well, a landscape of just profound change. We're talking cutting-edge AI, fundamental shifts in wealth building, securing your future, really.
It feels like everything's shifting at once, doesn't it?
It really does. And you've asked for insights on owning your platform, your assets, your financial destiny. Especially now.
Yeah, the ground rules seem to be rewriting themselves almost daily.
Exactly. So our sources today, they deliver surprising facts, some really unvarnished truth, and perspectives that honestly challenge a lot of conventional wisdom.
Mm-hmm. We've got two incredibly timely sources lined up. Really complimentary, actually.
Okay, who are we diving into?
First up, Darcy Ogundaga. He's an AI and marketing expert, deep roots in podcasting too. He lays out the hard data, the facts on AI's transformative power. And crucially, he gets into why owning your digital platform isn't just, you know, a nice to have anymore. He argues it's an absolute imperative. We'll really unpack that data point.
Imperative, strong word. Okay. And the second source?
Then we dive into John Hope Bryant, a titan of economic empowerment. Just wow. Compelling insights, very strong opinions.
Strong opinions, I like that. What's his focus?
He reveals AI's disruptive impact on jobs, and he doesn't hold back. Talks about the massive wealth transfer coming our way.
Right, I've heard about that.
And maybe most importantly, he lays out a practical, often unconventional, pathway to real financial freedom, sort of bypassing the usual roadblocks. We'll get into his stats and those strong opinions.
Unconventional pathways. Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, prepare for some aha moments. Seriously.
Yeah.
This stuff could really reshape how you view your future.
The AI revolution and owning your digital real estate.
Okay, let's start with Darcy Okandaga. And wow, he comes out swinging, doesn't he? A really bold claim right off the bat.
He absolutely does. No easing into it.
He states pretty unequivocally that AI innovation, especially everything since late 2021, he calls it the biggest innovation ever.
Ever, yeah. He ranks it higher than social media, higher than the internet itself.
Even the smartphone, which put a computer in everyone's pocket.
Even the smartphone, think about that. More fundamental than global connectivity or mobile computing. It's a huge statement.
It really is monumental. But, you know, as you dig into what he's actually doing with AI, the shifts it enables. You start to feel the weight behind it.
Right. It's not just theory for him. He's living it, applying.
And that urgency he communicates.
Yeah.
It's palpable.
Oh, absolutely. What's fascinating is how he explains the sheer inevitability of it all. He hammers home that AI isn't just some new tech trend you can, you know, decide whether to adopt or ignore later.
It's not optional.
Not at all. He sees it as a fundamental foundational shift, something you must embrace, not just for an edge, but for actual professional survival.
Survival? That's intense.
He puts a time frame on it too. Says within about 12 months, individuals who haven't bothered to understand and integrate AI, they'll just be replaced.
Replaced. Wow.
By those who have learned it. And he doesn't frame this as like a guess or a prophecy. He calls it a promise.
A promise.
Based on what?
Based on the law of probability, he says. His perspective is blunt. Feeling uncomfortable with AI. It's irrelevant. Its adoption is essential. Period.
So basically, get on board or get left behind.
Pretty much. He draws this parallel to the iPhone launch in 2007. You know, Steve Jobs didn't ask permission. Nokia didn't get a vote. It just happened.
And companies that didn't adapt, well, we know what happened.
Exactly. They got left behind. Darcy argues this is that moment, but magnified, affecting not just communication, but how we think, create, work, everything.
That urgency really lands when you look at Darcy's own background, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, 19 years in podcasting, back to 2005, 23 years in global marketing. This guy's a veteran.
Definitely seen a few cycles. Right. Yet he says he now integrates AI into every single aspect of his teaching, his business. He's completely re-engineered his whole approach.
That's a powerful endorsement. Yeah. Someone with that experience is going all in.
It speaks volumes, doesn't it? It shows AI's revolutionary impact, especially on content production.
Right.
From the first idea to getting it out there.
He sees it as the new foundation, not just an add-on.
Precisely. Which leads to some really concrete examples he gives. Like, get this. He effectively hired two AI robots.
Hired robots.
Named them Bob and Jen.
Affectionately.
Affectionately, I guess. Their job. Content analysis and production.
And how do they do?
He makes this pretty startling claim.
Yeah.
They're better than me, better than him at asking insightful questions, keeping conversations flowing naturally.
Better than a human expert with decades of experience.
That's what he claims. And he gives this example. Bob and Jen took one of his 17-minute podcasts. Okay, 17 minutes.
Nine.
In less than 10 minutes, they didn't just summarize it, they transformed it into a full masterclass. Structured, objectives, takeaways, exercises, the whole nine yards.
No way, in under 10 minutes.
That's the claim. And he reckons this masterclass could easily sell for $400, $500. Think about the human hours that would normally take.
Days, maybe.
Yeah.
That changes everything about content value.
Exactly. It's not just speed. It's the quality and depth in that time. It forces you to rethink expertise when AI can distill it so fast.
Mind-blowing. And he mentioned voice cloning, too.
Yeah. The same tech enables sophisticated voice cloning for podcasts, so you could produce new content in your own voice without actually recording it all.
Imagine repurposing content, translations. The scale is huge.
And it's not just about content creation. He talks about using ChatGPT 4.0 Pro in live strategy sessions.
Okay, like for business strategy.
Yeah. He showed an example, prompted it for three strategies to sell your book outside Amazon and make six figures.
And what did it come up with? Anything good?
Surprisingly robust stuff. build a strong online presence, you know, social, blogs, dedicated site, engage audiences with email marketing exclusives, sneak peeks, collaborate with influencers, reviews, interviews.
That sounds like pretty solid marketing advice.
Right. Delivered instantly. It's like having a high-level marketing consultant on tap, 24/7. It's not just basic content. It's strategic thinking.
And it goes beyond just single strategies, right? You mentioned team meetings.
Yeah, this is wild. He says the paid ChatGPT version can actually facilitate complex team meetings across different departments, accounting, marketing, logistics, you name it.
How does that even work?
It acts like a central intelligence, takes input, generates cohesive strategies, and get this, in multiple languages. French, Spanish, Mandarin, Lingala, Swahili, all on the fly.
So a global team could strategize in real time with AI bridging the language gap.
And synthesizing the ideas, proposing solutions. It's a multilingual participant. Plus, beyond strategy, it can whip up Excel sheets, PowerPoint presentations in minutes.
So you feed it meeting notes and it creates a report.
Right.
A deck.
Exactly. Maybe even suggests next steps, assigns tasks, drafts a Gantt chart, builds a visual presentation, it understands the discussion and infers the structure needed. That compression of time is just incredible.
Okay, so if AI can crank out content and strategy like this,
yeah,
what's the bottleneck now? Where's the value?
That's exactly where Darcy goes next. He argues it's no longer just about creation. It's about where that content lives and who truly owns the audience relationship.
Ah, so this leads to his big point about platform ownership.
Precisely. This is core. He doesn't just teach how to use custom ChatGPTs. He teaches how to develop your own AI to sell on the OpenAI platform.
Build your own AI. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Imagine creating specialized AI employees. One for marketing, one for emails, one just for podcast production.
An AI that analyzes your existing content to make new stuff.
Exactly. An AI that becomes a virtual expert on you, drawing on your info, pulling in other data, maybe generating a whole new detailed conversation, like a professional interview.
That's ultimate control. Building an AI ecosystem around your expertise.
Turning your IP into a scalable digital asset, which brings us right back to that core conviction he has.
Owning your digital real estate.
Yes. He's incredibly emphatic about this. He explicitly says he believes against teaching on social media like that, meaning relying solely on those platforms.
So no more just posting on Facebook or Instagram.
His focus, his absolute emphasis, is on having your own private website or your own platform or private community. He considers this difference so critical.
Not critical.
He called a recent podcast he did just on this topic the most important podcast I ever released.
Wow. Okay, so that tells you how strongly he feels. It's not just preference, it's strategy.
A strategic imperative, in his view. It dictates your long-term viability.
So let's nail this down for listeners. Why is owning so much better than just posting for free on social media? What's the data say?
It boils down to control and sustainability. On social media, you're basically a tenant. The platform owns the land, sets the rules, changes the algorithm whenever it wants.
Right, your reach can disappear overnight. You can get kicked off.
Exactly. You don't control the algorithm. You don't truly own the connection to your audience. The platform sits in the middle.
And they monetize that relationship.
They do. Now, contrast that with your own platform, your website, your private community, your email list. That gives you stability, direct, unmediated engagement.
And you decide how to monetize. On your terms.
Completely. No middleman dictating terms, taking huge cuts, changing rules. And the data, it backs this up strongly. With AI flooding platforms with content, organic reach on social is plummeting. You have to pay to play.
So the free platforms aren't really free if you want visibility.
Not reliably, but data consistently shows direct channels like an email list you build from your own site have way higher conversion rates, much more predictable access to your audience. You're building an asset. A fortress.
And Darcy practices this himself, right, with his own site.
Absolutely walks the walk. He uses his Reformation Leadership website and his private communities as the prime examples, his core teaching. It happens there.
Not on public social feeds.
Right, in these private environments. And he attracts people globally. He mentions Ghana, South Africa, UK, Paris, US states, the Caribbean.
Wow. So it's working on a global scale.
In English and French groups, even, fostering this dedicated audience without relying on external social media for that core valuable engagement, it proves the model works.
And he uses his own platform for direct offers, too.
Yeah, perfect example. He offers a 20% discount on his How to Monetize Your Expertise Globally via AI course.
Okay.
But only to listeners from his top 37 global cities, Atlanta, Hong Kong, LA, Singapore, Paris, places like that. And the key is you have to contact him directly through his website or other channels he controls.
Ah, so it drives traffic and engagement back to his own space. Clever.
It's a live demo of the power of direct calls to action on your own turf. Plus, he offers a free 30-minute Zoom call after the course to create custom AI packages, again, strengthening that direct relationship.
So the strategic advantage is pairing AI's power with your own platform.
Exactly. AI lets you create personalized content, targeted engagement at scale, but you harness that power directly on your own platform. That ensures long-term value, relationship-building, monetization that free platforms just can't guarantee.
You're building a resilient business, not just renting space.
Precisely. And he hammers this point. AI won't replace people. It'll replace people who don't know how to use AI. So learn it, embrace it, and crucially, use it on a platform you control. That's the path to securing your future, according to Darcy, John Hope Bryant. The economic transformation and empowering ownership.
Okay, let's pivot now to John Hope Bryant. He brings this equally urgent vibe about AI, but through a really sharp economic and societal lens.
Yeah, he picks up right where Darcy leaves off, but broadens the scope significantly. He reinforces that AI is essential, inevitable.
And he has that stark prediction about the world by 2030.
Right, unrecognizable. He compares the next, 6 years, to the 60-year shift from horse and buggy to cars, a total overhaul of society compressed into an incredibly short time.
And we're already a year or so into that 6-year window. It's not theoretical future stuff.
Not at all. It's happening now, accelerating. Which leads him directly into the job displacement issue. And here, he really focuses on the hard stats and his, strong opinions.
He doesn't mince words, does he?
Not even slightly. He points to real-world examples happening now, like CVS, Walgreens, mm-hmm. moving to mostly self-checkout, 10 machines, one human attendant. Think about those jobs.
Hundreds of thousands of cashier roles just vanishing.
Exactly. Or fast food places. Used to be 10, 20 staff, now maybe 3. Robots, AI, taking orders, prepping food.
And the airport example.
Oh, yeah. The automated wheelchairs in Amsterdam. Just doing their thing. No humans needed. He contrasts that sharply with seeing airport staff elsewhere pushing wheelchairs while, scrolling on their phones.
Oblivious that their own job is about to be automated.
Kind of darkly ironic, isn't it? And this leads to his really big, stark numbers.
Yeah.
He predicts 300 million virtual humanoid robots by 2030.
Meaning AI voices, customer service bots you can't tell are AI.
Exactly. Plus 300 million physical humanoid robots within 20 years. Walking around, doing physical tasks. It's a massive workforce shift.
Okay, so that's frontline stuff. What about professional roles?
He hits that hard too. He says AI brings a consistent 30% efficiency ratio across the board.
30% more efficient, which means?
Significant cost cuts for businesses and, inevitably, job displacement. He names names. Lawyers, accountants, assurance professionals, mortgage pros. Many roles profoundly reshape.
So white-collar jobs are definitely not immune.
Not at all. And then he makes that provocative statement. Coding gone.
Meaning coding is obsolete.
Not exactly. More like the need for vast numbers of human coders diminishes. His core point is crystal clear, and it echoes Darcy. AI replaces those who don't know how to use it.
It's not AI taking your job. It's someone else using AI to do your job better, faster, cheaper.
Or doing multiple jobs. That's the efficiency gain. So the question becomes, okay, what's the solution?
Yeah, if jobs are disappearing, what comes next?
Bryant points to this projected 3-year lag. Old jobs vanish, new ones emerge. But there's a gap, a potentially painful societal adjustment period.
3 years is a long time to be in limbo.
It really is. And he stresses traditional 4-year degrees. Not always the answer here. Maybe not agile enough.
So what does he advocate?
Short-term certifications. Focused training. 2 bits, maybe up to 1 year. Programs that give you practical skills to control and run AI. To be the operator, the strategist using the tools.
Get applicable skills fast. Pivot quickly.
Exactly. And he's working on this systemically. He co-chairs the AI Ethics Council with Sam Altman. Their goal, cultivate AI talent, K through college.
Starting young.
Yeah, embedding financial literacy and AI literacy at scale. He calls it a new Marshall Plan, rebuilding human capacity for the AI era, just like the original rebuilt Europe, ensuring people can participate.
Financial literacy and AI literacy, that seems to be the core theme emerging.
Absolutely, which leads him to building wealth in this new landscape. And here's where it gets really interesting. He thinks the AI playing field is surprisingly level right now.
Level? How so?
He says, quite bluntly, 99% of black folks don't know a thing about AI. But 99% of white folks don't know a thing about AI either.
So it's a unique moment where everyone's kind of starting from the same baseline ignorance.
Yeah.
An opportunity.
Exactly. A rare window. And it aligns perfectly with this massive predicted $100 trillion global wealth transfer over the next 10 years.
$100 trillion.
Yeah.
That's almost unimaginable.
It is. And a huge chunk of that, $15 trillion, he says, is tied up in businesses where the owners are aging out, often with no succession plan.
Ah, so established businesses are up for grabs.
Potentially, yes. A huge opportunity for new entrants, regardless of background, to acquire assets, not just start from zero.
Which ties into his no-tech solution for building wealth.
Right. This is a really key part of his advice, backed by stats and strong opinion. He strongly advises against starting new businesses. The failure rates are just too high.
Like his pizza restaurant example. 78% failure rate.
Yeah, that GoFundMe pizza place. Probably not the best bet. Instead, he says, buy existing proven businesses.
Ones that are already working.
Exactly. A successful $5 or $10 million business,
mm-hmm.
an established dentist franchise with multiple locations, positive cash flow, existing clients, much more stable, predictable, leverage what's already built.
Okay, but buying a multi-million-dollar business.
Yeah.
That requires serious capital, right? How does an average person access that? This is where he demystifies financing, isn't it?
Yes, and this is crucial. He talks about advanced financing, especially for these larger deals. He uses his own experience selling Promise Homes for $121 million.
Okay.
He secured $200 million from Barings, $100 million from Krupp as non-recourse debt.
Non-recourse. What does that mean for the buyer? Practically.
It means for these bigger deals, typically over $5M, $10, the lender isn't looking at your personal assets. They're not asking for your personal guarantee.
So my house isn't on the line.
Correct. The loan is secured solely by the business itself, its cash flows, its assets, its contracts. The due diligence is intense, but the business stands on its own. If it fails, they can't come after your personal stuff.
That's a massive difference from, say, getting a loan for a small shop or even a house.
Huge difference. Those smaller deals almost always require a personal guarantee. This non-recourse structure provides critical personal financial protection.
And what about seller financing?
He highlights that too. Where the original owner helps finance the sale, they might carry a note, you pay them over time, makes deals possible even without full bank funding up front.
So it's about creative deal structuring based on the business's cash flow.
Exactly. Less about your personal liquidity, more about the asset's potential.
Now, to even get in the door for these kinds of opportunities, Brian has that really foundational, strong opinion about credit scores.
Oh, yeah. He lays it out flat. You must get your credit score up to 700, period.
Must. Not should, must.
Must. And he backs it with that critical, sobering stat. Average credit score for black individuals in the U.S. is 620.
Which is a significant barrier. Not just a number, but a barrier to capital, better terms, opportunity.
A huge barrier. It's a direct call to action, which leads him to strategies for overcoming that, like building relationship capital.
Okay, what does that entail? It's not just about money.
Right. He advises against just going to your local bank branch manager. Their incentive might be to play it safe, say no.
So where do you go?
Go higher up. Regional credit officers, chief lending officers at mid-sized banks, the ones with billions in assets, their job is actually to approve loans, to make deals happen.
Find the yes people.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And his strategy is build rapport first. Before you even pitch, do your homework on them. Find common ground. Ask smart questions. Show you're serious, informed, respectful.
Not just asking for money. Building a connection.
Exactly. He says relationship capital is as crucial as financial capital. Like why people go to Harvard, it's the network. Build that authentic connection, he believes the door will open.
He connects this back to broader societal issues too, right? Financial literacy is key.
Absolutely. He argues financial literacy and AI literacy is everything. He makes that really tough observation about the $100 billion that flowed post George Floyd.
So he was largely ineffective. Why?
because, he argues, the foundational pieces were missing in many communities. Solid business plans, infrastructure, established credit, access to networks and decision makers. Capital needs fertile ground.
Money alone isn't enough without the strategy and structure.
That's his point. And while he absolutely acknowledges historical racism redlining, the GI Bill discrimination, the Homestead Act, all creating lasting disadvantages.
He acknowledges the systemic issues.
Yes, but he asserts that today, banks fundamentally want repayment. The numbers, he insists, are colorblind in that sense.
It's about the viability of the deal, the likelihood of getting paid back.
Right. And he paints this stark picture. 500 credit score neighborhoods versus 700 credit score neighborhoods, often just 15 minutes apart.
And the life expectancy difference.
Residents in the 700 score areas live, on average, 20 years longer. It's profound. Financial well-being directly impacts life itself.
Wow. 20 years.
So he reframes the credit score. It's not just debt. It's a trending indicator of hope, well-being, belief, confidence, joy. It's about mindset, optimism, responsibility.
Taking control of your financial destiny.
Which leads to his call for Black Capitalists Matter, for communities to buy hood-adjacent properties, rehab them, build local wealth engines, stop the wealth outflow, build from within.
Strategic ownership within the community.
Yeah, exactly. Build mini economic engines, control your future.
And then he gets into some really blunt personal finance advice.
Yeah.
No holding back.
None at all. Invest at least 25% of your money into the market. Beat inflation. If not 25%, start with 10%, but aim high.
And the sacrifices?
Oh, yeah. Cut back hard. Eating out, holiday debt, luxury stuff, booze, smoking, expensive sneakers, discipline.
Sounds tough, but necessary in his view.
Absolutely. He advocates long-term investing. Buy quality assets, Broadcom, QQQ, Bitcoin, AMD, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, Netflix, and hold for 10 years.
Let compounding work, ignore short-term noise.
Exactly. He says all the short-term concern goes away with that long view.
Yeah.
Make the sacrifices now for greatness later, or struggle forever. He's very direct. Even calls out spending too much on bad relationships or just socializing. Shift priorities.
It's a strong message of personal accountability.
Very strong. But he also offers concrete help to make it happen, like that mentorship program competition at InvestFest 2025.
Right. The $25,000 mentorship package. What's included?
It's comprehensive. 8 weeks small business training, one-on-one financial coaching, access to capital, mentorship, help developing a business plan, Shopify platform support.
Wow, like a full incubator.
Plus 2 hours each with an attorney, an accountant, a marketing pro, Shopify execs. It's a massive leg up.
And how does the competition work?
Five entrepreneurs need an LLC, business running at least 6 months. Get on stage with him at InvestFest. Real-time feedback.
Incredible opportunity right there.
Huge value. Then one grand prize winner gets the full $25,000 package, a direct pathway to growth.
He also mentioned the 1 million Black Business Initiative, right?
Yeah.
1MBB.
Yes. Backed by $190 million from Shopify, already helped 450,000 Black businesses since George Floyd.
And the Shopify loan aspect is interesting.
Very innovative. Loans based on sales performance, not just credit scores. So if your business is growing, you can get capital to scale, potentially into the millions, bypassing traditional hurdles.
That's a game changer for many.
It really is. And showing his personal commitment, Bryant meets individually with all five finalists for 45 minutes outside the conference.
That's amazing access.
Unheard of, really. And his final advice, get better company. Surround yourself with financially literate, ambitious people. Your network matters. It shapes your trajectory.
Hutro. So, wrapping up today's deep dive, two incredibly powerful calls to action, really converging on this central theme of ownership in a world that's changing so fast.
Yeah, they really fit together, didn't they?
Darcy Ogundaga showed us the AI revolution isn't just about fancy new tools. It's about empowering you to own your digital platform, monetize it, have control beyond just posting for free on social media.
Right. Being proactive, building your digital real estate, securing your IP, taking charge.
And then John Hope Bryant just slammed that theme home, extending ownership from digital to physical businesses and ultimately to real financial freedom.
He really did. Challenged us with those stark realities of AI's impact on jobs, the absolute urgency of financial and AI literacy. It's both now.
And his advice. So direct. Strategic investment, disciplined sacrifice. And that crucial piece about building relationship capital, it feels like a robust pathway through these transformative times.
Definitely a pathway to seize those wealth creation opportunities he talked about, regardless of your starting point. It's actionable stuff.
Okay, so here's a final thought for you to chew on. If AI can now create top-tier content, whip up business strategies in minutes. And if proven, cash-flowing businesses are potentially available for acquisition using creative financing.
Right, if those opportunities are there.
What personal sacrifice, as John Hope Bryant put it, will you make starting today to acquire the knowledge, build those crucial relationships, and secure the ownership, digital or physical, that truly defines freedom in this economy?
What's the first step?
What single, small, maybe uncomfortable, but courageous step will you take today to embrace your own third reconstruction? That personal and professional shift from just consuming change to actually owning your destiny.
Wow. I hope that you really enjoyed this podcast summary, especially for what John O'Brien was talking about. More information about John O'Brien going to, Operation Hope online. John O'Brien, just Google him. You'll be able to get in touch with his team. Been doing a great job. They have an impact not only in the United States but all around the world with his books and everything he's doing. And of course, EYL is doing a great job. Their podcast is one of my favorites in the space. And if you live in Atlanta, if you can make it, come to Invest Fest. It's going to happen in August. And of course, more information about me. You want to have positive vibe only for the business, positive life, or Reformation Leadership podcast. Go to reformationleadership.com, where you got all the information. If you're bilingual, French, English, or English, French, or if you speak French, go to reformationleadership.com/French, and you can follow me all around social media at Darcy Ogandaga, everything, DarcyOgandaga, if you listen to me in audio format. Thank you so much, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.